You know what's cool? It's always cool when you preach a message that has to have a disclaimer at the beginning. Because you know, God's about to do something. So the story that I'm about to tell you is about me and me only. And it's about my part in what took place and only my part. I was part of a church that had the most incredible recovery ministry that I have ever seen. I mean, I'm talking about chains falling off of people's lives. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit shining into the darkness and bringing freedom and bringing power and bringing love and bringing a kind of new life, the likes of which I had never seen before in my entire life. I'm talking about leaving the 99 and going after the one. I'm talking about looking through the darkness until you find the lost coin. Man, I'm talking about letting the prodigal sons and daughters come home and dine at the table of the living God. Can you say amen? Yeah. It was so incredible. And after a little initial phase of trying to get over being part of a contemporary church rather than a traditional one and getting over being part of a big church instead of a small one, I jumped in. Me and my wife, we held hands and we didn't go into the river till it was over our feet and then walk in till it was above our knees and then wait. No. We went and did a cannonball, right? Like we just jumped in and we're like, cannonball! And jumped into the glory of God of what he was doing in this ministry. And just let it just wash all over us and carry us wherever it wanted to carry us. I'm talking about it was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful to see God's light shine in the darkness, that light, like that in such a real and powerful way. And yeah, there's people in here right now. I see them nodding their heads. There's people in here right now that were set free in that ministry, as part of that ministry, that literally their lives, their eternal soul saved, their physical lives changed forever. And I loved it, and I would not trade those moments, those years for anything. It was incredible. But then the focus shifted. The focus just shifted to something different. And all of a sudden, I found myself, instead of being focused on going after those lost sheep, instead of focused on those prodigal children, instead of focused on seeing people come to know freedom in Christ Jesus, I was focused on something different. I found myself in a leadership role. I found myself planning the biggest event that we had ever planned in our history. I found myself leading all these different teams to make sure that this event that we were planning was going to go off without a hitch. My wife was working with like a professional theater director to make sure that the skit we were going to do was funny and relevant and cool and absolutely flawless. And they practiced for weeks and weeks and weeks just to make sure that they got it exactly right. And I found myself hounding the worship team. I made them practice for days in a row while I sit there on the front row and watch them. Not to worship God with them, but to make sure every note that they played, every chord that they strummed, every note they sung was absolutely perfect. And I was sitting there. It was crazy to think back on it now. I mean, y'all see me just worshiping the Lord down here like crying like crazy and doing whatever. Like I'm sitting there listening to them sing about God, and all I'm doing is judging them. I mean, it's crazy. And then, you know, my wife is staffing our children's ministry triple time and making sure they have fun and games so we can create this experience that they'll want to come back to time and time again. And my the rest of my staff, like I'm on my ushers and my coffee bar people and my greeters, and I met with them, and I let them know right now just exactly what it was that I expected of them at this event that we were having. And I made sure that they understood the importance of what we were going to do. We bought the videos we were going to show, and we edited them and timed them and edited them again and made sure that they were produced for ultimate impact. And then I was going to do what they call the hot intro. So as soon as the time clock kicks down, I take the stage and I'm like, hello, church. And I do all the stuff to get people fired up, you know. And I had 4 minutes to do that. And so I memorized what I was going to say word for word for word for word to make sure that I said exactly what needed to be said in the allotted time that I had to say it. And the guy that was preaching the main message, man, he practiced and rehearsed and practiced and rehearsed. And we went over all the points to make sure that they were super effective and that they were going to penetrate exactly how they needed to penetrate. We did all these things. We cleaned the place from top to bottom till it was pristine. We decorated it to the theme of the event that we were promoting. We advertised. We were on the radio. We were on social media. We're out handing out flyers. We're doing all this stuff. And then the day before, we did what they call a dry run. We went through the whole thing from beginning to end and practiced it all so that we could make sure that what we were presenting to the people was absolutely perfect. And then the night came. The night came, and everything went off without a hitch, except for one microphone problem with one of the main teens that was in the skit. And nobody could hear what she was saying. It bothered me for weeks. But that was the only problem we had. Beside that, everything was perfect. And we did it. We did it. I mean, we did it. We had a goal in mind. And our goal was to reach 1,000 people. I mean, a church right in the middle of Kentucky, and we wanted to reach 1,000. That was our goal, to get 1,000 people to come to a church in Kentucky, right in the middle of rural Kentucky. And we did it. 1,000 people came, and then people were so excited. And I felt nothing. I was so empty inside. And I felt like I had accomplished nothing and done nothing. And people kept congratulating me. Oh, man, it was so awesome. And that made it feel 50,000 times worse. Because in my heart, I did not feel that what we had done was for the glory of God. And if it's not for the glory of God, then it's just not worth doing. And I don't care how good that it looks. And I don't care how well that it comes off. And I don't care how polished it is. If it's not for the glory of God, I don't care what it is. If it's not for His glory, it's not worth doing. It's just not. It's just not. And I never felt so empty in my entire life. And I knew in that moment that there had to be something different. I knew in that moment that there had to be something more. And the conviction that I felt on me from the Holy Spirit is something that I can't even describe to you here today. But I know this. Our world has taken church and turned it into something that it was never meant to be. Our society has taken what God desires to be His bride. Made it into something that has no business marrying my Savior. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's just true. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord God, we come before You and surrender everything we have to You. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice today, God. Just laying everything that we are, everything that we've believed, everything that we thought we were going to be down at Your feet, God. And Lord, today I pray that You'll receive it and that You'll mold it and shape it into what You would have it to be, God. I pray that You will transform us as Christ followers into the people that You desire to follow You. God, I pray You'll transform the church into the flawless bride that You meant for her to be, God. I pray today that we can redefine what church is, God. And that we can go after You in a way that we've never gone after You before, God. And that we can feel You in a way we've never felt You. We can experience You in a way that we've never experienced You, God. I pray today will be a turning point where You redefine church for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you just give God some praise today, man? Yeah, buddy. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? I'm in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, and then I'm going to skip over into Ephesians chapter 3 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, anytime that I get the opportunity to read these verses, I take it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says this, "For it is by grace that you have been saved." Did you know that? Did you know that it's by grace that you've been saved? Not by any work that you could ever do, not by any service that you could ever attend, not by any sacraments that you could ever take part in, not by any works, not by anything that you could ever earn, not by any criteria that you could ever meet. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Say it's the gift of God. Not by works so that no one could boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Skip down to verse 19. The Bible says this: consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Look around. These are no longer foreigners and strangers to you. We're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. We are the family of God. We are the family of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Skip over to Ephesians 3, next page, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with a power in his Spirit, or through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, man, give him praise one more time, would you? You can be seated. What is church? That's the question that I want to ask today. The question I want to ask you, the question that I want us to ask ourselves. What is church? I mean, what's the definition of church? Throw that slide up there, guys. The Internet Dictionary gives us this, that the definition of church is a building used for Christian worship. Is that the church? Jennifer, is that the church?
No.
No, it's not. The second definition it gives us is this: a particular Christian organization, typically one with its own clergy, buildings, and distinct doctrines. Kim, is that church?
Yeah.
No. The hierarchy of a Christian organization, especially the Roman Catholic Church or the Church of England. What church is that church? An institutionalized religion as a political or social force. Guys, is that church? And none of these things church. None of the definitions that the world gives us for church actually hold a candle to what the church really is. None of these things are what the church is. Whoa, 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 let me take a back step. So maybe these things are what church is. Maybe they are. Let me give you a lesson today. You didn't know you were going to have a Greek lesson today, but here we go. The word church comes from a German word Kirk, right? Which means house of the Lord. So maybe church is a building. And that German word Kirk comes from a Greek word, Kirkos, which means which belongs to the Lord, which is fine. So maybe church does mean a building that we come and worship in. Here's the problem. The word you see translated as church in your New Testament is not Kirk or Kirkos. It's not. That word appears twice in the New Testament. It's not translated as church. It's translated as belongs to the Lord. The word that you see translated as church, like when Jesus says, on this rock I'll build my church. And in the scripture I just read in Ephesians 3, when it says the glory of God will fill the church. That word is the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia. Not Kirk. Ecclesia. That for whatever reason, the English translators that did the KJV and stuff, they changed it into church. When it should have been ecclesia, which means a gathering of called out ones. A gathering of called out ones. It means a gathering of those that have been called out of light, out of darkness and into light. It means those that have been called out of darkness and into light with a specific purpose. That's what the church is. We are the ecclesia. We're saved people that have a purpose. We're called out ones that are gathered together with the mission of God on our minds. We're not a building. We're not an institution. We are the people of God living for the living God. We are those that love God and love people. And that's all. That's what the church is. Can you say amen? That's what the church is. None of the, yeah, give God praise, man, for his church. Come on. Man, we own that. We've got to own that. We've got to embrace that. We've got to become that. We've got to live that. We can't be what the world has defined us as. We've got to be what God has defined us as. We can't live in the box that the world wants to put us in. We've got to break down those walls and be exactly who God has called us to be. Let me give you an illustration. Imagine if you had grown up on a desert island. No other people. Just you and your parents there, and they had taught you from birth, totally shielded from society. And the only thing that you ever had to learn with was this book. Everything that you know, you learned from the Word of God. You read it every day. You read it every night. You focused on it. You lived by it. This is how you learned to read. This is how you learned to write. This is how you learned what truth was. This is where you learned what the church is in these pages. Imagine this is where you learned what the church is from this book alone. Nothing to do with our society, nothing to do with our world, nothing to do with anything else except you learned it from these pages. And you grew up with that into adulthood. And then somehow later in life in your adulthood, you left the island that you had grown up on and you came here to the glorious United States of America. And after you got here, you met someone and they said to you, hey, will you come with me to church? And then you did that. And you came to church. And remember, this is all you know about church. It's from the Word. And then you came to church here in America. Do you think you'd be a little bit confused? Yeah. You think you would be? Do you think what you learned about in these pages would be represented well by what the church is in America today? Yeah, I think I'd be a little confused too. I think I'd be really, really confused by what happens in the church. I don't think matches up too well with what's in these pages. I don't think that it goes along with what's in these pages very well. I think I'd be really, really, really confused. You know, so you go there once a week on Sunday and stay for an hour, and then you go home, and then you don't do anything with it until the next week? Wouldn't make much sense to me. A group of church leaders were asked what is important in church today. You know what they said? I've got a list here. Number one, a really good service. Is what's important in church today. Number two, engaging youth and children's ministries. That's what's important in church today. Number three, a certain style or volume or length of singing is what's important in church today. Number four, a well-communicated sermon is what's important in church today. And number five, this is my favorite one, good parking is what's important in church today. Hey, I love all those things. I think that we need all those things. I think all those things are awesome. But I don't think that that list matches up well with what the Word of God says is important to have in a church today. Those same church leaders were asked what the Bible says about what is important, the most important things in a church are. You know what those things are? Love one another as I've loved you. John 15:12. Look after widows and orphans in their distress, James 1:27. Make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19. And worship the Lord in spirit and truth, John 4:24. Now let me ask you this, guys. By which set of criteria, set number one or set number two, do you think most people choose their church today? Yeah? By which set of criteria do you think people leave a church today? Sad, isn't it? That we let those things in list number one define what body that we're going to be a part of. That we let those things in that first list determine who we're going to join with on this mission, on this life that God has given us. We let all those things from number one, from the set number one, determine where we're going to be when those are not the things that God is focused on. Man, it seems like to me that we, and I'm including our church too, it seems that we become a caricature of what the church is supposed to be. When yet, God desires more. God desires more from us. He desires something different than what we're giving him. Ephesians 2 in verse 19 says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Man, if we're going to be the church, we have to be the family of God. And you know what family does? We love each other. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you would love each other as I have loved you. He said, by how the way you love each other, that they'll know that you're my disciples. He said in Galatians that by the way you love each other will bring conviction upon the world around you, and they'll know that they're going after destruction. By the way we love each other. Man, if we're going to be the church, then we have to love each other. We have to love each other in a sacrificial, crazy way that doesn't make any sense to the rest of the world. We have to love each other. And I know we want to love the people out there in the world too, but we really need to start with loving each other. I mean, if we're the family of God, then we have to love each other, which means we have to know each other, which means we have to put up with each other. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. It means I have to love J.R. Beckley like my own brother. More than that even. More than that even. Means that we're to love each other. What if we could just become a church that's known for how much we love each other? You know, you could probably name 10 churches right now that are known because their worship band is awesome. You know, there's Elevation Church and Bethel Church and Passion City Church and all these churches that are known because their music is so incredible. And then you could probably name another 10 churches that are known by how awesome their speaker is. You know, some of those same come to mind. I mean, there's Furtick and Chandler and Chan and all these guys that are such incredible speakers. And their churches are known worldwide because their speaker is so great and dynamic and just awesome. But can you name me a church that's known because they love one another so much that it's ridiculous? I'll wait. We're trying. We're trying to do something different. We're trying. And I hope we do. I hope that we become worldwide famous. I do. I hope we become world famous. Not because our band is so awesome. They are. Don't get me wrong. They're awesome. I hope that we become known worldwide because not because our speakers are really good. And we do a pretty good job. I mean, we're all right. We're right there in the middle somewhere. But I hope that we become known not because our music is awesome, not because our speakers are awesome, not because our children's ministry is awesome. I hope that we become worldwide famous for the way that we love one another. Because we just love one another. And when people walk in these doors, they're like, man, those people love each other. They love you. They love everybody. They're just overflowing with love every moment of every day. I pray that when we're out in society, people are just like, man, you're just filled with love. How can you just love people like you do? Man, I pray that we can answer this call that God has put in our lives, that we can just love others more than we love ourselves, that we can love others the way that God loves us. Man, let us be known for our love. Man, let us redefine church by how we love. Verse 20 says this, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. If we're going to be the real church, man. We have to teach the real word. The real word of God. We have to teach the real word of God. Not some watered down, politically correct, sugar-coated version. We just can't do it. We can't do it. We can't teach some word of God that's been put through a filter so that it's acceptable to society. Man, the gospel's offensive. The gospel's offensive, man. We're elitist. We're saying that there's only one way to heaven. One way. That should offend people. It should. And we should never back down from that. We should never back down from that. Man, I heard Billy Gore do a teaching one time on how Kool-Aid gets weak, and when it gets weak, it gets nasty. Gospel's the same way. Man, you get a good glass of Kool-Aid with just the right amount of diabetes in it, man. And that stuff's good. And you can add a little bit of water to it and it still tastes pretty good. And you can add a little more and it's still okay. And then you keep adding water to it and all of a sudden it's completely disgusting. Matter of fact, it seems like something that somebody might, I don't know, want to spit out of their mouth. That's what the lukewarm gospel is to my Savior. You water it down and you water it down till it's lukewarm and gross and he'll spit it right out of his mouth. He ain't got no time for that. And you know what? We shouldn't either. If we're the real church of God, we shouldn't have any time for that either. We got to be built on the cornerstone of what Jesus Christ taught in the gospels, what the apostles wrote in the letters, and then all that should connect back to what the prophets taught in the Old Testament and build off that moving forward. Bible says this in verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. Wait, preacher, I thought you said that the church wasn't the building. Well, it sort of is, but it's not made of bricks and mortar. The church is a building built of saved people. The church is a building, a temple that's joined together of Holy Spirit-filled people with the blood of Christ becoming the mortar that binds us together until we together become the dwelling place of the living God. Can you say amen? Man, that's what we should strive for. That's what we should fight for. I mean, with the Holy Spirit in me, I shine a little bit. I shine a little bit with the Holy Spirit in me. But man, if I come over here by my brother and I sit by him and we shine together, we shine a little brighter. And now this whole row is shining with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? And the darker that this world gets, man, the brighter that we can shine. And the more that we interlock together, the stronger that we are in the faith. Man, Ecclesiastes says that somebody by themselves gets knocked down pretty easy. But two guys can help each other up at least. And a cord of three strands is hard to break. And what if I'm joined to Wendell? Wendell's joined to Mike, and Mike's joined to Brent, and Brent's joined to Verdine, and there's a spider web of connections built by the Holy Spirit on the glory of God that intertwines into this incredible dwelling place of God, into this temple of the Holy Spirit of the living God where his power is on full display for the whole world to see. Man, what if we can rise up right here in the middle of Kentucky into this incredible fortress of the living God that shines the whole world around, man? What if we can just do what it says in Scripture? Man, if we're saved, he dwells in here. If we're a saved person filled with the Holy Spirit, he dwells in here. But you know what gets even better is when he begins to flow from me into my brothers and sisters, and we become this network of the living God, of the power of the Holy Spirit that just constantly flows, and it flows in between us. And when people come into that presence and they get caught up in that flow of power, man, they can't help but notice. They can't help but notice. Verse 22, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. I read a book by A.W. Tozer, one of my guys, man. It's called How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. And on the very first page, he says, I'm going to teach you how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I need you to ask yourself one question first. Do you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you really want the divine presence of God living inside you, inspiring you, strengthening you, guiding you, leading you, correcting you, chastising you, empowering you to become the person that God designed you to be? Do you really want that? That's what I want. And that's what I want this church to be. A place that's truly filled with the Holy Spirit. And we don't do this so you'll fall in love with the Way Church. I could care less. I could care less if you fall in love with our church. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I want you to love our church. But that's not our focus. I don't want you to leave here and say, man, the Way Church is awesome. I want you to leave here and say, Jesus is awesome. I don't want you to leave here and say, man, I just love the Way Church. I think it's just incredible. I want you to leave here and say, man, I love the Holy Spirit, and He's just incredible. I could care less if anybody knows my name. I want them to know His name. That's all. That's all. I hope sometime years down the road that somebody is like, man, there was this guy, I don't remember his name, but he said this awesome stuff about Jesus. There was this guy up here with his hat on backwards. I don't remember his name, but he sang these awesome songs about Jesus. And I never had felt Jesus so strong in my entire life than when I was gathered with that group of people. And that's why we do this, so people fall in love with the Lord. When we do this, so people experience the power of the living God. We do this for Him. What if we could become known as a church that just loves Jesus? Where people would come in and say, man, those people, they love the Lord. They're a little crazy. And it's awfully loud in there, but they love Jesus. I mean, it's all I want. It seems to be a church that just loves God, that just loves God so much. And when we're out there in the community, would come into contact with us, and within 2 or 3 minutes of knowing us, they'd be like, man, those people just love Jesus. They just love God. They just worship God. Man, everything that they do is for Him and of Him and through Him and by Him. Man, it's all focused on Him. I mean, does that mean that our worship band's not going to practice? No, they are. They are. They definitely are. But not so they can perform well for us. They're going to practice their craft because what they're doing is bringing an offering to the Lord. And we want to give Him the greatest gift that we can give Him. Yeah, we want our worship band to be awesome, but not so people will come back, but so the Lord will receive that as a sweet-smelling savor, and so that we can join along with them. Does that mean I'm not going to work on my sermons and pray over them and study them and use illustrations if I have to? No, I definitely am. But not to entertain. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to preach a message that I hope goes in your ears and takes root in your mind and changes your heart and then comes out through your hands and feet. Can you say amen? Man, that's why I'm doing this, not to entertain anybody. That's why I'm doing it. Am I going to try to do it the best I can? Sure. Are we going to make our kids' ministry welcoming and loving and do everything we can to have kids go there? Sure we are. But not so they'll come back and not so they'll have fun. We want to do two things in there. We want a number two. Yes, I started with two. We want to number two for them to learn the Word of God. Number two, Pastor? Yes, number two. That's the second most important thing that they can do here on Sunday morning is learn the Word of God. You know what number one is? We want them to experience the love of God. We want them to experience the love of God. We want these kids to know that they are loved by God and secondary by us. That's why we're doing it. So they can experience the love of God. Do you know how people that are far from God experience the love of God? Through us. We're His hands, His feet, His heart, His mouth on the earth. It's through us. It's through us. You know, I talked about a few weeks back that, you know, I think JR was singing, I'm a lover of your presence, right? I'm a lover of your presence. And I was like, man, dude, when they sing that lover of your presence song, I feel the Holy Spirit just dancing inside of me, like Mr. Cooper was saying. I mean, God is just like, rah, and I just feel the love of God on a level that I don't feel walking around in everyday life. But those that are far from God, they don't get that. They don't experience that. The Holy Spirit doesn't well up inside them all of a sudden when they hear those words being sung. The way that they experience the love of God is through me and through you and through our interactions with them every single day. Man, that's who I want to be. What if we were known for something different? What if we were just known for how much we love God and how much we love His people? What if we just became world famous for that? Maybe they don't even know our name, but they're just like, man, there's this crazy church somewhere that loves God and loves people, and that's just all that they do. That's it. They don't care about the other stuff. They still do it, but it's secondary to just how much they love God and how much they love people. Because, wait, church, I'm telling you that that's all that matters. Everything else is secondary to that. And I pray that if in the church, if we ever lose our focus on that, I pray that He chastises us, man. I pray that He does anything and everything to get us back on the right path. Man, that's what I'm hoping for. That's all I want to do, is just be a lover of his presence. Just love him and love his people. Back in the Old Testament, the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Man, this is cool. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What if during our offering time, when we brought our offerings to the storehouse, what if the glory of God just filled the temple? Because he was so pleased with what we had brought him. What if when we come to the church gathering and we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, like the Bible says to do, what if we so fully surrendered ourselves that the glory of God just filled the temple, man, that fire just fell from heaven? I mean, that's what I want us to be. That's what I want us to do. I want even our offering time to be just so anointed that when we just drop our money in, that the glory of God just surrounds it, and that the power of his love is just so heavy on us, and that the moment we show up in this place, man, that the temple is just filled with his glory. That's what I desire. Verse 2 says, the priest could not enter the temple because the glory of the Lord filled it. Come on, man. I mean, what if the glory of God was so strong that we just couldn't even look up? We just couldn't even open our eyes because the glory of God is just too bright up in this place, man. And all we could do is just fall on our face, man. It says that they fell on their face. When the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good and his faithful love endures forever. Man, I want that here. I want that here. I want the power of the Holy Spirit just to be so thick in this place and so vibrant and so alive in this place. You know, you don't need revival if you're alive already. Can somebody say amen? And I just hope that our church is so alive with this Holy Spirit that when people that are far from God walk in, that they can only do one of two things. They can either just be drawn in by his love and just bask in his glory, or they just have to run away. Because they just can't handle the power of his love, so pure and so beautiful and so amazing, man. Can we just fall upon our face before the Lord and just give thanks for who he is? I want to be part of a church like that. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I said, I want to be part of a church like that. Do you want to go with me? I mean, do you want to go with me? I mean, do you want to do church like that? I mean, come on. Look, we started this church to be different, and we have been. We've done something totally, totally different, but I'm ready to just take it to a new level. I'm ready to take it to a new level. I'm ready to walk from where we are into something brand new, into something brand new. Man, let's take our lives, our families, and our church. And I don't mean this building. I mean this gathering. And let's lay it at the feet of the Lord. Not out of obligation, but out of pure love. And let's let him do with it what he wants. You know, Brent started this Redefine series 2 weeks ago by just saying, let's redefine Jesus. But you got to know him before you can show him. Last week, I continued it based on what God gave me in two different sermons. I don't even know how that happened. Yeah, I do. We redefined faith, not based on what he does, because we can never understand that. Isaiah 55, right? But based on just who he is. Just who he is. Today, I want to redefine church. That it's not a building. It's not an institution. It's not a set of rules or doctrine or people. I want us to redefine church, a called out gathering, a group of people called out of darkness and into his glorious light with a purpose to bring glory to God and the message of the gospel to the whole world. Ephesians 3 says this. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. And let's do something different, church. Let's build a different kind of church. Brick by brick, person by person, prayer by prayer, moment of worship by moment of worship, sacrifice by sacrifice, communion by communion, baptism by baptism, healing by healing, miracle by miracle, just every moment building towards a crescendo, the likes of which the world can't even hear, can't even understand. I mean, one that's going to shatter all the expectations that have been put on us before. Man, let's take what the world has defined church as and throw it out the window, and let's let this define who church is, and let's let this define who we are, and let's do something totally different in this world, man. Let's change everything. Let's change everything. Change everything, man. I want you to be part of this ecclesia with me. And don't get me wrong, man. I hope we grow to 1,000. I hope we grow to 10,000 with 25 different locations. I don't care. But I hope that every one of them knows that the focus is not to grow in numbers. The focus is to grow in love for God, love for His people. And if we do that, then we win. And if we don't do that, I don't care how pretty it looks to the world, then we have failed. I said in the first service, it was in Micah 5. It's not, it's in Amos 5. In Amos 5:2, the Bible says, your worship is detestable to me. Keep your religious festivals to yourself. I don't want them. We need to do a heart check way, church. Make sure that everything that we do is to bring glory to the living God. That as we love God and love people, that we do it for Him and Him alone.